Is he my prince? Is he the toad? Waiting, wondering, is getting too old. I'm gonna let down my hair, slide up my skirt. Get me out, be the biggest little flirt. Well, I might have.
Welcome to the Shame Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame-Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
And welcome to the Shame-Free Zone. This is your host, Veronica Monet. Tonight we are asking, why aren't women experiencing ecstasy? That's a good question, isn't it? There's a lot of women who are actually not experiencing orgasms at all. And our guest tonight is going to be kind of redefining this word orgasm for us, introducing us to a much higher standard for orgasm. And she's got a brand new book, which asks a question: have you ever had an orgasm? A woman's guide to everyday bliss. Her name is Jamila Meganault, and Jamila has she's the founder, actually, of the Free Life Association, which includes the widely popular dynamic and transformational dripping bliss sensual healing services. And she's a sex educator, a behavioral health specialist, trained dancer, healer, life coach. Sounds like she's got a lot going on here. Jamila, welcome so much to the Shame Free Zone. I know you kind of got caught off guard there and you were ready to rock and roll. That's a sign of a true pro.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This is exciting. I'm happy to be here.
I'm finding your book very exciting. I really am. I noticed the very first section on why aren't women experiencing ecstasy actually talks about anger and fear, which is really awesome because I've been doing a lot of material around women's orgasms and anger. But before we go into that, could you tell our listeners a little bit about how you got drawn into this very important topic? Certainly having a sex educator background is part of that, but it seems to me, after looking over your book, that you've actually been on something of a sacred sexual spiritual journey, and I'd like to hear just a little bit more about that if we can.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I've gotten into all of this because of my own journey of healing. I wasn't always an orgasmic woman. I wasn't always even a happy woman. I was always kind of defensive and in this dark place. And I knew that there had to be something more than what I was experiencing. You know, I'm like, I'm this fine woman, you know, I look good, I'm very sexual. You know, I think I should be enjoying what I'm doing here, you know. I know it has to be more than just the man experiencing pleasure. I want to experience that too. So I dived into a lot of spiritual practices to kind of find myself, you know. So at first it started off as a spiritual journey for me, you know, and I went into yoga, meditation. I was initiated into a spiritual practice. And in me going through all of that, I started experimenting with myself sexually. So my sexual exploration and my spiritual exploration was kind of a one thing. So that's how it all started for me. And I came up with so many treasures, and I felt like I needed to share them with other women as well.
Well, Jamila, there's a lot of different types of yoga. Can you just give us a hint on what type of yoga you started with?
Yeah, I started off with Kundalini yoga, as a matter of fact. And I did so many other yogas. I did hot yoga, Bikram yoga, I did a lot of Qigong as well. I went into Qigong. But my first yoga that I've ever experienced was Kundalini yoga. And that was a very powerful experience for me.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I'm just started taking Kundalini yoga after really being, on a path of sacred sexuality, tantra, fire breath orgasm.
Yes.
I just started taking Kundalini yoga, and I have really, really just loved the way I feel when I do it. But a few weeks ago, one of the women in the class took me aside and said, I can tell you this. She said, I just had an orgasm in class.
Yes.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. Now, I have to confess, that has not happened to me yet, but is that fairly common with Kundalini yoga?
I think it is fairly common with Kundalini yoga, because what Kundalini yoga is doing is opening that center up. It's kind of opening that sexual energy, making it come alive. So they call it the serpent energy that lies right on the base of the spine. So what that is doing is awakening that serpent, which is the sexual energy, and allowing that to travel. So, yes, that's very common, because we're moving on sexual energy. That's our creative force. That's our life energy. So when that's moving, you know, we see that. It shows up in our whole life. I always tell the women that I work with, if your sexual energy is not flowing properly and freely in your life is not going to be flowing freely and properly. You're going to see that in a lot of different aspects of your life. It's no different. Our sexual energy is who we are. You know, it's not separate from who we are.
Yes, absolutely. So, I hope someday soon that happens to me in Kundalini yoga. But
keep at it.
Maybe you have a few tips for our listeners and for me as well on how one can transform their yoga class into an erotic sacred journey. But so let's get back to your personal journey before we go into the tips, which I'm sure you have a bunch of them. But so you start off with Kundalini yoga, and I guess this starts supercharging your sexual journey. What's the next step for you? Are you initiated into some particular lineage of tantra, or?
Yeah, not particularly tantra. I have studied tantra for some years now, but I was initiated into a traditional African religion. And, it does, you know, we have tantra, we have Taoist techniques, we have the traditional African religion. We have a lot of those things, but what I've noticed with studying all of them is that they all are truly connected in so many ways. It's really the same. You know, we separate all of them. We put them in their little compartments, but they all really are the same thing, and they're teaching the same thing. And what the thing they're teaching is to enjoy your life. Let that energy flow through you. You know, we no longer have to see it as something that's forbidden or something nasty or bad, but it's part of who we are, and let it flow through you so you can have a happy life. We're here to enjoy life, to experience ecstasy, and that's what all the traditions have in common.
This flies diametrically in an opposite direction to, say, traditional Western monotheistic religion, wouldn't you say?
Oh, definitely. You know, history shows that traditional Western religions are the ones that have us with all these hang-ups around sex. You know, we weren't taught our power. We weren't taught the creative power of sex. We weren't taught that we can use our orgasm to create anything that we want. Now, that's another magic. You know, that's something really deeper. You know, we can create. We can manifest the things in our lives using our orgasm. And this woman by the name of Margot Anand, I don't know if you're familiar with her.
Oh, absolutely.
I love her. I've read her book. You know, she wrote a book called Sex Magic, and she talks about that, using your sexual ecstasy and your orgasm to manifest things in your life. Yeah, so, you know, traditional Western religion, they kept our power away from us. You know, if we knew our power, you wouldn't have a whole bunch of robots, you know. If you don't know your power, you're easy to control. So it was kept from us, you know, and a lot of people, especially women, have, they have these hang-ups. They are still traumatized from the old patriarchal ways in which women were bad. Just look at, you know, the Adam and Eve story. You know, it's the woman's fault that we're in all this mess. So I think subconsciously a lot of women still have that. And that's why a lot of women aren't experiencing orgasm, because they don't feel they deserve it.
It's true. Now, how do you get past that? How do you get past that feeling that you don't deserve pleasure?
I think the first step is to be honest with yourself. I work with a lot of women. I have a page on Facebook called The Coochie Church. And a lot of women come on there. I'll post things there. And a lot of women come on there like, oh, that's untrue. They will beat me up for some of the things I say. And underlying what they're saying is, I see, you're saying you don't deserve pleasure. You know, one time I posted that you can experience, you can manifest things with your orgasm. And they're like, oh, that's untrue. How can you say that? Are you saying just go and sleep with anybody? No, I'm not saying that. But immediately when I saw that woman felt like she didn't deserve pleasure, but she wouldn't admit it. So the first thing is being honest with yourself. Why do you feel you don't deserve pleasure? What's happened? You know, and clearing that out. That's the first thing to do, is do some clearing, you know?
Absolutely.
And then do things that bring you pleasure. Do things that bring you bliss. Write a list of those things and do them. Do something every single day that brings you bliss, no matter what. You know, my mother will always tell me, she told me this when I was a teenager, you know, you have bills or whatever, but every time you get a paycheck, take some money out, even if it's a dollar, and buy yourself something. Do something for yourself first. Even if you have to buy a trinket for your hair, do something for yourself first. And women have to start doing that.
So do you think women don't do that then, or?
I don't think enough women do it. I think women are such people pleasers that we forget about ourselves sometimes. We want to make sure everyone else is okay before we make sure we are okay. And it should be the other way around, because when we have more, we can give more. When we have more abundance, we can give more away. When we're happy, when we're free, when we're orgasmic, people feel better about being around us, you know, and it's just so much more vibrant, and we can give that nurturing, healing energy towards people. And that's really what women's nature is, to be free and flowing and feminine. That's our power.
And that is really, embracing our physical being here on this planet is actually part of a spiritual path. Now, can you explain that to our Western ears, which are so trained with the idea of doing without, suffering in the name of being spiritual? How is it that we can find spirituality through pleasure?
We find spirituality through pleasure because there is not separate. Spirituality is pleasure. When we experience pleasure, we're at a heightened state of being. We then can experience who we truly are, spirit, enjoyment. You know, that's who we are by nature. It's not natural. Well, I won't say it's not natural for us to be angry, because our emotions, every single emotion is a sign of something, and we can use it. But by nature, we are just supposed to experience pleasure. And in that heightened state, when we're vibrating on that level, we can experience those spiritual ecstasies. We can hear any insights that we may get from whatever, from the universe, from God, whatever you would like to call it. We're more relaxed. When we're relaxed, we can receive more. Yeah.
Okay, so when we're more relaxed, what was that last line? When we're more relaxed, we can what?
when we're relaxed, we can receive more. We're more open to receive.
Gotcha. Yes. We're able to receive more.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
We're now
so,
open to receive.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes, yes.
So those, the guidance, the connection, that conscious contact, all of that comes actually from being in pleasure.
Yes, and being in that present moment. When we're in the moment, when we're in the now, that's the greatest pleasure. And then we can receive anything we need to receive.
Well, you know, maybe this is a good time to talk about anger and fear and how those mediate the orgasmic response. But, you know, before we do that, keep teasing the listeners, but maybe I do actually enjoy it. could you just give us a little rundown on the women, you know, what is considered an orgasm in the current culture? And then how are you defining an orgasm? When you ask women, have you ever had an orgasm, what are you really asking them?
Mm-hmm. Well, that is a loaded question, the title of my book. I use it, one, as a euphemism of, are you experiencing a happy and joyful life? Are you experiencing a happy and joyful life? That's what I'm saying, part of what I'm saying. Now,
okay. The
book goes into reasons why women aren't experiencing sexual pleasure, a heightened state of sexual pleasure, which is the orgasm, and how they can remove obstructions so they can experience that. Because, we all know that, what's the numbers, about 78% of women, American women, have never experienced orgasm, and that's an issue. That's a real problem. So,
it's sad. It makes me want to cry. I think it's just tragic.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Oh, I said it's very sad that many women are not having orgasms. It's just tragic.
Yeah, it's very tragic. It's very tragic. So, I wanted to address that. You know, of course, orgasm is a physical state. You receive all that pleasure, all that ecstasy physically, but also it's a spiritual, mental, and emotional state as well. So when women are experiencing orgasm, they're not only getting a release for their body, they're releasing endorphins, that feel good, hormone, all that stuff. But they can also heal from any trauma. It also relaxes them. It just makes women more sweet, and it helps her tap into her femininity. So orgasm has all these great benefits, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically. So what's happening that women aren't having now? And we're seeing the effects of that. We have a lot of angry, grumpy women walking around, you know, and I do connect women not being sexually fulfilled with women's health issues as well. Fibroids.
Absolutely.
Endometriosis, obesity, all of those things, because women are not orgasmic. They are not enjoying their lives. They're not experiencing themselves on a very deep and profound level, and that's causing a whole lot of other issues.
Yeah, you also talk about self-esteem and self-consciousness. Now, you know, women do have this added burden of worrying about what they look like. And I remember a study that came out where women said they'd rather be naked in a room full of men than in front of a room full of women, because the women are so cruel and so harsh, not only with, you know, each other, but of course with themselves. And, you know, here in your book you ask questions like, how do I look? Am I making sexy faces? Is my stomach flat? Are my movements turning them on? I think, you know, if women are thinking about that, they can't really be letting go and experiencing an orgasm. How much of that self-consciousness do you think contributes to women's inability to orgasm?
Oh, that's a very large part of it, because now you're not in the present. You know, you can't experience the sensuality. You can't experience the pleasure if you're so worried about, you know, if he's looking at your stomach when you're on top riding him. You can't think about that. You can't think about the pleasure or experience the pleasure that you're receiving from him thrusting, because you're so busy thinking about, you know, if your face looks crazy to him. So, I mean, that just totally blocks everything right there. You know, and then women feel like they need to perform more. They want to do all these acrobats, you know, to compensate for all of that. Well, women should
and
just really be
And don't you think a
receiving.
Lot of that has to do with how pervasive pornography is?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. I did, I was on a panel about this not too long ago, and women, they do feel like they have to compete with what's in pornography, you know, and they really feel that that's what their men want. But talking to men on my own, men really want real women to show up in the bedroom. Men really do want to please their women, but women have to be pleasable. They have to be pleasable. You know, women have to know, they have to learn how to let go of all of that crap. You know, men look at a lot of porn, they do. But a lot of them also understand this is entertainment, and I want a real woman. And it's just as pleasurable for them if the woman that they are with is responsive. That's the most important thing, for a woman to be responsive. Let him know that it feels good. When he touches you, show him how it feels. You don't have to tell him. Show him how it feels, you know? Moan. Don't just sit there or lay there like nothing's happening.
It reminds me of a quote from my friend, one of my mentors, Cozy Fabian. I took a sacred prostitution class from Cozy Fabian years and years ago. And she was out and proud as a sacred prostitute. And she would talk about how these married men would come to see her and they would say, "Oh, my God, you're so much better in bed than, you know, my wife or my girlfriend." And she'd think, "But I'm not doing anything special." She goes, "I don't understand why they're saying this." And then one day it occurred to her, she says, "My God, I'm moving."
That's funny. Oh, my goodness, that's so funny.
I know,
wow.
Isn't it?
It's so true, though. It's so true. You
That's
know,
crazy.
Sometimes I'm still shocked. All the work that I do, sometimes I'm still shocked when I talk to men and they tell me, you know, "Well, she doesn't do anything. She just lays there." I'm like, "Really? Women still do that?" You know?
I know.
Yeah.
It's 2011, for God's sake, almost 2012.
Right.
Hard to believe, but true.
It's very true. Very true.
Yeah.
And I think that's why our work is so important. You know, it's allowing people to let go, especially women, let go of the taboo. Let go of feeling like you don't deserve it. Let go of feeling like you're bad or nasty or you're a whore, because you enjoy sex. Sex is to be enjoyed. Period.
Now, that brings us to the other section in your book called Religion and Childhood. And actually, you quote Vern Beulah, somebody he's passed on now, but I actually had the pleasure of meeting him back in the 90s.
Oh, wow.
And Vern talked about a major obstacle to understanding our own sexuality is realizing we are prisoners of past societal attitudes towards sex.
Mm-hmm.
Great quote. And I'm wondering if you can, you know, just talk about that a little bit more. Certainly, you know, Christianity makes a contribution towards sexual shame. You also mentioned sex in China was not something to be prohibited or feared, but something to be celebrated and seen as an act of worship, not an act of sin. And in India, a detailed sex and courting manual called the Kama Sutra was created. It glorified sexual pleasure and variety, as did other manuals out of China and Japan. What do you think happened with Western culture that we became so sex negative? Was it just Christianity, or can we also trace some of this to Judaism and Islam? Or what's your thoughts
on that? Absolutely. And I think it was all about power and control. I think that's what underlies it, period. Power and control. You know, like I said before, if you're able to control people, you're able to dictate what they do. You know, if you're not controlling people, then they're free. And you don't want a whole bunch of free people running around. You know, can't have that. Can't have people knowing their power, you know. So I think definitely Judaism and Islam definitely centered a lot in patriarchy and just the control of women's sexuality. And I feel like it still has not gone away. You know, we're working towards it. People like us, we're working to, you know, kind of get rid of it. But it's still very relevant today.
I think it's one of the most difficult obstacles we have to human evolution. I mean, just on a lot of different levels, not just sexuality, but also when it comes to the environment and just social progression and women's rights. And how do we, maintain a spiritual life and yet not allow our ancient taboos and superstitions to constrain us and cause us to do some really, you know, stupid things that just don't serve anybody. I think that's maybe a good time to talk about how does one transfer. Let's say you were raised a right-wing Christian like I was, and then you're trying to find your spirituality through a more holistic and sensible relationship to sex. Certainly one of the things that one could worry about is addiction, sex addiction, and you even mentioned this about addiction to pornography. What are some of the guiding signs that you can give people so that they could not worry that their sexuality is going to become some kind of dysfunctional, you know, aberration?
Yeah, just let go. I think if people start worrying too much about it, that's when the problems come in. That's when obsessions come in. That's when addictions come in. When you start trying to suppress those energies and you're worrying too much about it. Just be free, let go, relax. That's it. Relax.
Yeah, I think I would add to that it's really important to do some research around what some of the original prohibitions were about. I think seeing things in a cultural and evolutionary context can really give us a lot of freedom. For instance, if you understand that some of the prohibitions in the Bible, the Old Testament Bible, were really about trying to protect people's health, you know, you understand then maybe why certain foods were taboo because they were associated with certain illnesses and people didn't have, maybe modern access to ways of keeping things sanitary. You know, when it comes to the admonition to procreate, you know, to go forth and multiply, that's, you know, something that made sense thousands and thousands of years ago when there were very few people on this planet. And the more people there were, the more our options for survival increased. But now that we have such a horribly expanding population where we are actually threatening our existence on this planet, I think it'd be a good time to actually re-examine this idea of procreative sex. I mean, you're certainly teaching people ways to have sex which are not necessarily procreative.
Right.
For instance, you focus an awful lot on breathing.
Mm-hmm.
So, can you tell us a little bit about what breathing has to do with orgasms?
Mm-hmm. Breathing, first of all, it helps us to connect. It helps us to bond in a different way with our partners. It unifies us with our partners. Breathing relaxes us. The biggest antagonist to a woman's orgasm is fear and anxiety. So if she's able to relax into that breath, she's able to relax and let go. It also builds a trust with her and her partner because it's connecting them. It's connecting their energies and their bodies on another level other than just penetration. So it allows her to trust and let go as well. Breathing is very, very, very powerful. Very powerful.
And this is actually how orgasms are achieved in the Kundalini yoga class, isn't it?
Yes, breathing. Our breath is our life. Yes, yes, absolutely.
Why do you think people have to learn how to breathe? Why? Because if it's the first thing you do when you get here on planet Earth, you know, once you're out of sight of your mother's womb, you breathe. That's what you have to do or you die. Why do people have to learn conscious breathing? And what does that mean, conscious breathing?
Yeah, so we live in a society where there's so much stress. And as soon as we're stressed out, we get all this tension and we start breathing in our chest. We move our breathing to our chest. And our breathing is supposed to be in our bellies so we can have the most, the full experience of the breath. It keeps us healthy. It keeps us vibrant. So we get used to bringing that breath into our chest. That's just what we do now. It becomes commonplace. So when you are taught how to breathe, when you go into yoga or anything like that, you're taught to bring that breath back into your belly. And it takes consciousness. It takes you being conscious to do that because you're not thinking when you're bringing that breath into your chest. You're not thinking about it. It's automatic. So now, consciously, you have to learn how to bring that breath back into your belly and slow that breath down and just be. So that's conscious breathing, knowing how the breath is, connecting with your breath, paying attention to your breath. Yes.
Hmm. Now, this, you know, you, in the very beginning of your book, you talk about how people think of orgasm as the moment of climax, this moment when they get released, maybe an ejaculation. But you actually want people to reorient themselves to orgasm so that it's a very expansive concept. What would be the difference between an orgasm that I might have if I was just holding my breath and masturbating to some porn fantasy versus breathing expansively with a partner into sacred sex? What would be the difference between those two orgasms?
Yeah, so when you're holding your breath and masturbating to porn, first of all, if you're masturbating to porn, all of those images, you're seeding yourself. You're taking those images into your spirit. So if you're watching a violent porn or whatever kind of porn you're watching, you're bringing that, like I just said, bringing that into your spirit. So usually when people are finished watching porn, they feel a little dark, you know, probably a little guilty, a little, you know, nasty, whatever, because the energy that those porn films are being made is nothing sacred. It's nothing about it is sacred. But when you're breathing expansively with a partner, or even masturbating, breathing expansively, then you can experience a full orgasm, a full body orgasm. Orgasm is just not isolated to your genitals anymore, but you can feel orgasm in every single part of your body. Every part of your body can experience ecstasy from your orgasm. So, yes. And men, you know, orgasm and ejaculation is two different things. You know, men can have orgasm without ejaculating. And a lot of men ejaculate and they never have an orgasm, but an orgasm is a full body experience. Full body experience.
Yes, and also women can ejaculate with or without the orgasm, or orgasm without
Absolutely.
The ejaculate. It's interesting. There's corollaries between both genders.
Absolutely.
And even if you had an orgasm, let's say you had an orgasm, like you said, you might feel dirty or dark, but also it might just be genitally focused and not actually go into every cell of your body. So when you're talking asking women, have you ever had an orgasm, I think you're actually asking them, first of all, are you the 78% that has never had any type of orgasm? And then secondly, for those, you know, 22% of you that might be having orgasms, how good are they really? Are they fully and expansive and engaging you on a spiritual level?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
You got that
that's where the whole thing about sacred sexuality comes into being, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Jamila, can you tell us a little bit about your own personal orgasmic journey? You mentioned in the beginning that you didn't always used to be orgasmic. Was there a point where you were masturbating to porn and you know, because you seem pretty familiar with the sensations that go with that, and how did you transfer from porn, or, you know, kind of orgasms that were genitally focused, to this more sacred, spiritual, I don't know, for lack of a better word, I would call it a doorway to the divine.
Yes, absolutely. I love that. Yes, well, of course, I was masturbating to porn. I was masturbating to my own fantasies. Just, I was a big masturbating ball. You know, there's nothing wrong with masturbating at all. But I was masturbating because I wasn't experiencing a vaginal orgasm. I wasn't experiencing an orgasm with a man. So I would masturbate because I was experiencing a clitoral orgasm. So on my journey, you know, I had a great partner at that time. He was very patient with me and very sensitive to what I needed. And he was also helping me to heal. And, you know, one day he laid me down on the couch, you know, and he got me all hot. And, you know, he wouldn't penetrate me, but he did penetrate me with his fingers. He found the G-spot, and Lord, I had my first vaginal orgasm with gushing. I gushed. that was my first time, and oh, that was like such an amazing experience for me. Like, that solidified all my spiritual work, all the healing that I had done to that point, that solidified it for me. I'm like, okay, I'm a woman now for real. You know,
yes.
I felt like that.
Hallelujah, huh?
Yes, but before all that happened where he was able to bring me to that, I was experimenting with myself. Like, I would use a cucumber, and I would experiment with the type of strokes I like, you know, because I was really interested in why I was not experiencing a vaginal orgasm, you know, so I would experiment with that, you know, with the cucumber and experiment with strokes, and I was allowing my vagina, my yoni, now to experience sensations vaginally. I was opening the way for that. I was letting her know that it was okay. Okay, you can come now. Come on now.
Yes.
Being patient with myself. And that allowed me to be open to my partner and what he was doing also to help me. And boy, yes. Yes.
It sounds like it was a religious experience.
Yes, it was. You know, I grew up in I grew up as a Christian as well. I went to a Pentecostal church. And So you know.
Oh yes, my grandmother. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, and that's how I felt. You know, I felt like speaking in tongues and everything. It's just like, whoa, that's how it is. That's what I've been missing. Thank God, I've got it.
Reminds me of when I was a little girl, probably about 9 years old, I had just learned about sex, and I asked my mother, I go, Mommy, what do orgasms feel like? Because I'd never had one at 9 years old. And she said, Honey, they're God's way of letting us know what's waiting for us in heaven.
Wow.
That's pretty amazing from a woman who is basically incredibly conservative and sex negative at times. But I took her at her word, and I fully expected that heaven would be full of orgasms.
That is great. That is great. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, but, you know, certainly the message wasn't enjoy sex, that's for sure. Unless you were married. If you were married, then you were supposed to be able to be as slutty as you wanted.
A lot of married women have that confused now. They think that's
I know it. It's like they try to become the Virgin Mary after they have their first child.
Right. No. That's when it all starts. That's when it starts. Especially if you plan on being with that person for the rest of your life. I'm going to be freaky and nasty as possible. Keep it interesting.
Freaky and nasty as possible.
Yes.
Sounds good, Jamila. Sounds good. So I see one of the exercises that you have here is without thinking, write all the self-deprecating thoughts you have about sex. Write everything that comes to mind. This way you will not judge yourself nor be apt to leave anything out because it seems unimportant or too negative. And when you come face-to-face with thoughts and feelings that are obstructing your bliss, you can clear them out. If you never acknowledge the ills or pretend they do not exist, you will never heal and experience the pleasure you deserve. And do the answers you have written invoke any particular emotions in you? Name the emotions. Is it sadness, fear, longing, disappointment? Whatever emotions you find, write it or next to them your answer. So I wonder, you have here a possible response. I feel sex is overrated. I receive no pleasure from it. I just do it so my partner will feel better. You know, I've actually talked to a lot of women who feel that way. Now, they do tend to be older women who seem to have kind of missed the boat when it comes to probably masturbation and sex toys because it was so taboo for them when they were growing up. But what do you find this in younger women as well?
Did you ask me, do I find the same with women?
Do you find that younger women are also feeling like sex is overrated, or is that kind of a generational thing?
Yeah, I think more young women feel that way than older women, actually. I think older women come into knowing with themselves a little bit more. But I've noticed I have a lot of young clients, women from 22 to about 30 years old, and they are some of the sexiest women on the outside, and they just look amazing. You will never know, but they feel that way. They feel it's overrated. It's kind of taboo. I've even worked with one woman. She could not touch herself. She could not masturbate because she felt all this guilt around it, you know. But definitely, I feel that it's more younger women than anything. More younger women than older women.
Wow. You know, I wonder if this has anything to do with the porn. Again, it seems that well over half of young women are starting to view online porn regularly and kind of having these expectations that they are going to respond the way the women in the porn videos respond. Mm-hmm. And I just had Jessica Drake, who's a Vivid girl. I'm so wrong about that. Jessica Drake is actually with Wicked Videos. Sorry about that, Jessica. she's a Wicked actress, and she has a brand new line of adult videos that are all about educating women on, specifically women, that's who she wanted to target, on how the stuff you see in porn can work and how it doesn't work, because she's been horrified by the women that are coming up going, I tried the anal sex like it was in your video and it didn't work.
Oh, wow.
And one of the things that she shared when I was interviewing her was that there are hours of foreplay that get cut out of the pornographic films.
Yes. I'm glad she's doing that. That's a great thing she's doing.
I think so, too. And it's so important for women to realize this, and for the men to realize this, that the pornographic films have been edited. You're missing all the foreplay.
Right. Yeah.
it's a really good reason it doesn't work.
Dr. Hilda Hutchinson's interview. And in her interview, she was saying that she had a patient, and the patient was like, well, I watched Sex in the City, and, you know, how so-and-so was having sex on there, that's not how it is when I have sex. She's like, that's a character. That's television. You know, they don't factor in the sweat and the smells and the queefing and all that stuff. It's not real.
It's true. And then, you know, queefing. What's a good tip for women to handle queefing? Because, you know, I think women find it very embarrassing. They've been learning not to, pass gas their entire life. And now all of a sudden, that intimate part of their body is having a mind of its own. What would you recommend?
Yeah, to relax and just, not take it so seriously. You know, we take everything in life so seriously. It's okay to laugh at things sometimes. Just laugh it off. It's okay. It's really okay. You know, your man is not thinking about if you just pass gas. He probably knows it's a queef. He probably thinks it's funny. But all he's thinking about is the pleasure, really. So you have to think about the pleasure, too. Okay, that just happened. It was funny. Moving on.
Yes, pleasure. We're back to the whole thing. Can women feel pleasure? You know,
absolutely.
Are we so uptight? Are we so focused on right and wrong and enforcing whatever cultural and societal standards we think are good and right and whatever that we just can't even lighten up and have a good time?
Right. Oh, man. Gosh.
I'm talking to myself, because no matter how far you go with this, you know, and I certainly have had a journey of my own from being frigid to multiply orgasmic, but there's always more. That's what I think is so exciting about the sexual spiritual journey. If you are indeed pursuing sex as a doorway to the divine, there's really no limit to the doors that it can open for you. And
absolutely.
The places that it can take you.
Yes.
And I, every so often, I will hit upon a spot where I know I'm kind of blocked. I just have a hard time getting past it. And it almost always seems to come down to not wanting to give up my control.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. I was just thinking the same thing. I've had an experience like that not too long ago as well. Yes.
Like how did you let go of it?
Always more. There's always more. You know, I teach women about sex. I have clients and everything. But in my own experience, there's still more learning and growing, you know. I had the experience where I was feeling intense amounts of ecstasy and pleasure. I thought I was just going to go crazy, like just lose it. And I held it off. I didn't let go completely because I didn't want to lose control like that. Mm. Isn't that something?
Oh, yes.
And then,
yes,
when,
Yeah, then when you're out of it, you're like, damn, why didn't I lose control?
I know. And what am I afraid of losing control of?
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
I think something. It is. It's amazing. It really is. How much, you know, the sexual response one is capable of, and the body can go all kinds of places, but can you show up with your heart, your soul, your mind? Can you really just allow all of those walls to come down?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And do you think you deserve to feel that good?
Right. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. That's where it is. That's very powerful. Can you show up? Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. And of course, we do deserve it. And it is, you know, I see this. It has so many corollaries, so many connections. Like, you know, if you don't want to accept pleasure, then you also may have a hard time accepting prosperity.
Oh,
and you might have a hard time laughing and joking, and you might have, you know, a hard time being creative and really letting go in that way. You might have a hard time dancing, singing. It just really spreads into every facet of life that diverges from, you know, logic and bookkeeping.
Right. Absolutely. It's not separate from who we are. You know, people like to put our sexuality and our pleasure in these as separate than who we are, or something that we do every now and then. But it's not separate at all. It permeates every single part of our life. It's our life force, really. You know,
amen to that.
We're here.
Jamila, this has been a very fun interview, but we're down to the last couple minutes here, and I want to make sure to give you an opportunity to tell our listeners where they can contact you, since you are, in fact, a coach, and how they can get a copy of your brand new book.
Absolutely. So my book is on Amazon, and it's at Barnes & Noble's online. Have You Ever Had an Orgasm? A Woman's Guide to Everyday Bliss. And my website is drippingbliss.com. And I'm also on Facebook at The Coochie Church, COOCHI, The Coochie Church. And also, if you're too shy to go to The Coochie Church on Facebook, you can always go to Dripping Bliss Healing Services. And you can email me at info@drippingbliss.com.
Great names, by the way.
Thank you.
That's great. You have been a total delight, and I hope when your next book comes out, I hope you'll come back and join us in the shame-free zone. Jamila Magnus.
Manigault. So
Jamila Manigault. Right? I say it right?
Manigault.
Yes.
It was an absolute pleasure. It definitely was an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you. Best of luck with your book. Really, really, really enjoyed reading it.
Great. I'm happy. That makes me very happy.
Awesome. All right. And next week in the Shame Free Zone, I'm going to be interviewing my good friend, Christine Beattie. We actually go back about, I think in 24 years here, something like that. Anyway, Christine Beattie is a transgender friend of mine. I've actually only known her as a woman, but she had a former life as a man, and she's going to be talking to us about that. And she's also got a brand new book, which I think you're going to find very interesting. So join me next week in the Shame-Free Zone. And in the interim, I am coming to the Bay Area, and I'm available for house calls, one day only. That's Sunday, November 6th. Sunday, November 6th, if you are interested in my coming to your home to talk with you and your beloved about your sex life, your relationship, your anger issues, especially, you know, I'm a certified anger management specialist through Century Anger Management, and I teach all about how anger and sex intersect, and I'd be happy to help you make some inroads and learn some very simple techniques to take your conversation from conflict to connection and compassion. If you're interested, give me a buzz at 888-903-0050, or just listen to the end of the show, and all of that contact information will be repeated. Thanks so much, and good night from the Shame-Free Zone.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with you. Sering kesepian. Kenapa tak mutus kabar berita?
Please join us every Saturday morning for Temple of Health Radio Show, brought to you by Plastikos and Millennium Healthcare. Our holistic medical practices in Atlanta are committed to community education. Our shows bring you national authors on topics of health alternatives, new scientific breakthroughs, and spiritual medicines.